Hey there, Mr. Reddit here. Welcome back to another episode of r/EntitledParentStories, and Happy New Year! Our first story we'll be reading today, Just Pay Your Babysitter. After that, Entitled Mom threatens to call the cops on us for having legal fireworks. After that, Entitled Parent calls a call center. After that, Salty Lady tries taking my salt when she thinks I work for Safeway. After that, ring me up or else. Now Karen told me she's thinking about calling the cops on you, but if we can get 1,000 likes on this video, she won't. So please smash that like button. And if you're new, subscribe and turn on notifications for new stories from Reddit every single day. And by the way, join as an official member of the ReArmy today, and I'll give you a special shout out in our next video. And huge shout out to all of my friends rocking the new Mr. Reddit merch and the ReArmy merch, both guaranteed to protect you from Karen's venom and both pinned in the comments below. Just pay your babysitter. I just got money out of the ATM to pay our babysitter for tonight, and it reminded me of a story from back in the archives. Now, I'm one of five kids in my family. My sister, the second youngest of the lot of us, would babysit for extra money when she was younger. She had good clients that paid on time and bad clients that were always short on money and forgot to bring the right amount or conveniently forgot her rate. My sister got smart pretty quick, but those first few babysitting gigs showed her how crappy people can be. So my brothers and I had just been stiffed on payment for picking apples and we were loudly complaining about it out in the barn. My sister hears us and joins in with her story. Apparently, one family owes her close to $200 in back pay. We all assume she's talking about one of the bad families and ask why she'd keep working for them if they don't pay up. But no, it's upstanding members of our community, the Smiths. Names changed to protect the guilty. Sister had been watching their hellions in town after school for almost a month, then riding her bike slash getting the bus home, and they never seemed to have the full amount. But because they're a good family that goes to our church, she's been letting it slide and agreeing to more work with them with the promise that next time they'll have the full amount. Yeah, that never happens. I didn't know what the sunk cost fallacy was at the time, but that is what was going on here. Well, we're full of righteous indignation, having just been shorted ourselves, and we have a car, so we come up with a plan. My sister is scheduled to babysit for them for that upcoming Friday night after school until 10 p.m. This was unusual because they were strictly after school up until now, so we figured that it must be for something important. Part of the deal was that they would bring my sister home afterwards, but given the track record of shoddy promises, we didn't want to take this chance. My older brother stays at a friend's place so he can get to work in the morning, and my younger brother, sister, and I take the car to school. After school, we drive around to the Smiths. Sister jumps out, and we wait at the end of the driveway. She takes in her diary slash ledger thing and tells the Smiths that she's sorry, but they are about $200 in arrears, and she can't babysit for them tonight until they're paid up in full. They aren't happy about it, but she sticks to her guns and walks out of the house. Mrs. Smith follows her outside and tells her that it's too late to back out of their agreement because they have a big night tonight. Mr. Smith is getting some kind of award, and they need a babysitter. She can't believe my sister isn't acting like a good Christian by demanding all this money. Now, my brother has slept through more church than any person I know. I have no idea where he came up with this, but he belts out Romans 13:7, which is basically, pay what you owe. Mrs. Smith is doing that goldfish thing where your mouth opens but nothing comes out. I'm laughing. My sister is just giving her resting jerk face, and my brother is hitting her with more Bible verses about paying up. I remember the render to Caesar one, but I've forgotten the rest. Sorry. She goes back inside, and Mr. Smith comes out. He offers my sister some of the money that they owe and promises that they'll have the rest after his event that they have to leave for very soon. My sister takes the money, updates the diary slash ledger, and says that we'll come back when he has the rest of the money. And that due to their track record, she would need tonight's money in advance, Mr. Smith turns to do the goldfish thing. We drive off and get some shakes at a place in town and drive back over 30 minutes later. We're met by two frantic Smiths that have the money ready to go. They hand it over. Sister turns off her resting jerk face and heads into the house. The Smiths, looking a bit worse for wear, dart off to their car and peel out in the drive like their lives depend on it. Aftermath. The Smiths did try and tell my parents that we were shakedown artists. My parents told them that they couldn't expect slave labor, but if the relationship was now soured, my sister wouldn't work for them anymore, and they could find a new sitter. This was about the time Bookface was starting to get big. Between my sister telling the other sitters about her experience and a Bookface group that named and shamed locals that didn't pay or shorted their sitters, it was a very interesting few years for the Smiths and some other families in our small town. Would you keep babysitting if the family wasn't paying you? If so, for how long? Let me know in the comments below. Next we've got, Entitled Mom Threatens to Call the Cops on Us for Having Legal Fireworks. I never expected to run into an entitled mom, but this happened yesterday, 4 hours ago. Happy New Year. Our cast. We've got Entitled Mom, Crazy Kid, My Friend, and me. So this evening at around 11 p.m., me and my friend were lighting fireworks at a grass field so no one would be bothered by us. We were putting Thunder Kings upside down in their holders so they would explode on the ground instead of in the air, very loudly. There also was another kid in the grass field. He looked around 15. This is Crazy Kid, throwing around small white bags that would explode ridiculously hard. When we arrived at the grass field, we heard it the first time and we jumped. That's how loud it was. It was also clearly illegal. So we started setting off Thunder Kings, and Crazy Kid just starts throwing around those white bags. We decided to leave when one eventually landed around 5 meters away from us, which gave us a serious beep in our ears. We were walking back to my place, and Crazy Kid bikes past us, deliberately throwing another white bag literally a few meters away from us. We got away from it before it exploded, and we started shouting at the kid. He just biked away quickly. Me and my friend were really mad and kept walking to my place. Around 5 minutes later, we see Crazy Kid waiting for us on the sidewalk together with his mom, Entitled Mom. We were still so angry at him, so we walked up to him, and this is the conversation that followed. My friend, hey, don't ever throw fireworks at us again. Are you crazy? Entitled Mom,
don't talk to him like that. He's my son. He would never do that to someone.
Me, he threw fireworks right at us, and they are probably legal as well. Crazy Kid,
I didn't do that. Go away, stupid little kids.
I'm almost 17, and my friend is 16.
My son doesn't have illegal fireworks and would never try to hurt someone. He's a lovely kid. Leave him alone.
Me, if he has no illegal fireworks, then what's in his bag?
That's none of your business. Go away, or I'm calling the police.
My friend, what the heck are you calling the police for?
Don't talk that way in front of my kid.
Me, come on, let's just go.
Oh, so now you're scared.
Me, what do you mean?
Well, I said I would call the police, and you suddenly decide to leave. I want to bet you are the persons that have illegal fireworks, and you're trying to blame my son for it.
Crazy Kid,
I think so too. They were lighting fireworks that were very loud.
At this point, my friend looked at me with a face that basically screamed, are you serious? Me, that's legal stuff.
No, it's not. It's illegal. My son knows everything about fireworks, and he says they are illegal, so they must be.
My friend, you are crazy.
I'm going to call the police on you for having illegal fireworks. Stay right there.
Go ahead. We just waited to see how far she was going to go. Nothing to worry about if she did call the police, since the fireworks we had were illegal. She takes out her phone, and then Crazy Kid whispers something to her. Then they turned around to us.
Okay, I am a reasonable person.
She actually said that.
So? If you give me those fireworks you have, I'm not calling the police on you. Otherwise, I will call them.
Me. No way. Let's go. We were walking away from Entitled Mom and Crazy Kid, and after we walked away from them like 10 meters, we heard Entitled Mom saying things like,
"Is this the police?"
and talking about how there were kids with illegal fireworks and stuff like that. She wasn't very convincing. She was clearly faking the phone call, probably to make us change our minds. My friend, in a mocking voice,
"Oh no, we should run before the cops come here."
We started laughing at Entitled Mom, and she wasn't happy about that.
"Give me those fireworks now, or I'm really calling the police."
My friend, "No, go away." We started walking away again, and of course, Entitled Mom didn't call the police. She just kept yelling at us, but we ignored it. We went to my place where we told what happened, and everyone laughed about the Entitled Mom fake calling the police. Next we've got, Entitled Parent Calls a Call Center. So I decided to take 6 months off and get a job just while thinking and browsing my options. I couldn't get a job on my own, so my mother helped me get one in a family friend-owned call center. Since I was bilingual, I got a decently nice salary, and instead of dealing with people from my country, all my customers were from the United States, and all calls were in English. Lucky me, I was always told my English was decent, and I did not have an accent. Okay, so I worked for a banking company in their credit card department. My department was the first line, and we had to deal with multiple procedures, some easy, some a mess. One of the procedures we had to deal with a lot was resetting people's passwords to access the online banking system. Now, the bank has different security requirements for different processes. The reset password was a high-risk procedure, and only the owner of the card is allowed to request it. Also, we needed to complete a verification using a security code sent to the owner's phone to verify their identity. So I was just at my desk in between calls, and a new call comes in. We've got me, and we've got Entitled Mom. Me. "Thanks for calling Bank Credit Card Department. This is OP speaking. How may I help you today?"
"Hi, yes. I need to get into my account, but I can't seem to remember the password. Can you help me?"
"Of course. Could you please provide me with your card number?"
"Yes. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
"Okay. Thanks. Please give me a moment while the system pulls up your card. And may I have your name, please?"
"Yes, it's Mrs. Karen, entitled."
I check my screen, and I see the card is under a Mr. John Good. Fake name, obviously. Now, in training, they remind us a lot of the importance of security, and a big red flag is someone trying to pass off as someone else. Me. "Ma'am, I am very sorry, but your name is not the one in my system. Can you please confirm the card number again?" Entitled Mom getting annoyed.
"Yes, it's this."
Me. "I am very sorry, ma'am, but this card is not in your name. Are you positive this card is yours?"
"No, it's not mine. It's my son's."
Said this very slowly to me, as if I was stupid. "Ah, I see, ma'am. Unfortunately, the password reset needs to be done with the card owner on the line."
"What? But I am his mother. I need to have access to his bank information."
"I am terribly sorry, ma'am, but per bank policy, I can't give you your son's password or access to his account unless he calls in to authorize it. Will there be anything else I can help you with today?"
"Forget you, you jerk. I demand you let me in his account right this instant."
Now, by this point, I was used to dealing with some jerks on the job, and this wasn't even the worst. Me. "Ma'am, this is a professional call. I'm giving you your first warning. If this behavior continues, I will be terminating this call."
"You stupid jerk! Fine. In that case, I demand you give me all his card movements in the last month."
Now, some people add a secondary person on the card that does have access to this information, but Entitled Mom was not in there either. Me. "Once again, ma'am, since you are not in the account, not even as an authorized user, I can't provide you with that information. I advise you to contact your son and tell him to call us to authorize us to provide you with information.
Forget you, you jerk! I will be contacting my lawyer and getting you fired for this.
And she hung up. Wow, I thought to myself, poor guy. I hope his mom at least treats him better than me. Next we've got, Salty Lady Tries Taking My Salt When She Thinks I Work for Safeway. Last week, I finally made up my mind to dress nice. Brown khakis and button-up shirt. Hair was a little unruly, but I managed to get it mostly under wraps. I'm also able to drive again after 5 weeks thus far out of surgery, so that's nice, and drove the 20 minutes to town to spend a Safeway gift card I got for Christmas. I go in and I had this compulsion for something salty, but without being soft. My taste buds wouldn't accept chips, crackers, or anything else that turns into mush. Then I see it. Heavenly Choir. Beef jerky. This stuff is so stupidly overpriced. $15 for a 230-gram bag? But I'm not spending out-of-pocket money, so it's all good. What else was I really going to use it on? I take 3 packages, since the gift card was for $50, and I am in this almost primal sense of hunger, so I'm ignoring the world outside of this jerky. I look down, and I apparently grabbed a flavor variety. Ew. No. Original or not at all. I put them back and start getting antsy. At this point, I'm basically tidying up the whole darn section, which is mismatched all to heck and back. If it's even hung up in the first place, and I just wanted to make it easier for me to find what I wanted. By the time I get it sorted and do find what I wanted and stand back up, I accidentally back up into a very irate lady. I jump ahead a little. Sorry, just a little ridiculous trying to get what a guy's gotta eat, eh? Yeah. No, she immediately blasts back.
Are you stoned on the job just because it's legal now? Trying to get your attention for 5 minutes now, but you ignored me because you have the munchies.
Then she's hollering to anyone who might overhear her that she needs the manager and rips my beef jerky out of my hands, continuing to berate me. I'm just more in shock at this moment, but I finally settle on a, okay, stupid, let's see where you take this. Expression on my face. Not the manager, but one of the higher-ups, regardless, comes power-walking down the aisle, and before she can even finish asking what the problem is, she's already being interrupted by Karen calling for me to be fired on the job, and generally being, you know, a Karen. This supervisor is totally befuddled by what she's hearing and trying to make sense of it, and I finally tell Karen to shut up for 10 seconds. If you're even capable of being an adult that long. I tell her, look, long story short, I'm buying food, she thinks I'm an employee here, and I try to be dramatic and yank my jerky back, but she's got a death grip on it. And she's being a colossal entitled jerk who won't let me have the jerky I wanted to buy and had to root around for like an idiot. There were interjections while I told the employee this, but I'm not going to type out every interruption for the sake of reading comprehension. Ma'am, give him the food.
Why? So he can take it in the back and share it with your other employees?
He doesn't work here. Just because he's wearing sweatpants and a dirty t-shirt doesn't mean he works for us. Ah, yeah. I totally wasn't wearing that before I decided to clean up before leaving. Yeah.
Don't cover for him. He was putting everything away on that shelf.
You said he was looking for that stuff in your hands.
Yeah, I know. Idiot.
Which one is it then? Never mind. I'm going to ask you to leave. You're making a scene and harassing other shoppers. Get out.
You fire him right now!
How stupid. Security! Karen, embarrassed, practically runs out of the store. I wish she tried and tripped. She was in heels. I am being petty with this thought, but I genuinely wish she had. She was still clenching my jerky when she tried leaving. At that point, when security grabbed her, they had to phone the police and added shoplifting to her other charges. I mean, I knew she'd be out in a few hours because we have a sickening revolving door criminal system in Canada for anything that isn't violent or white collar. But it still felt nice when she saw that I saw her in cuffs. No free jerky, no discount, and nobody even apologized I had to go through that with her. I expected as such, but I'm kinda mad now that I can't even look at the stuff without wanting to run to the bathroom again. Being sick and all preventing me from enjoying the fruits of my ordeal. Next we've got, ring me up or else. So a few years back, I worked for a company that would sell and repair retail and bank equipment. This ranged from ATMs to office printers. Our big retail items were cash registers and self-checkouts. As a technician, I would ride out to the store that opened a support ticket and never really had an offer or even a logo. Our uniform was really just a nice polo, khaki pants, and black boots. One of our biggest customers on the retail side was a superstore known for blue uniforms. I would spend entire days in these stores just working on cash registers. I also do my best to avoid wearing the usual colors for most store uniforms and opt for a black polo. I cannot count how many times people would approach me while I would be testing scanners and demand I ring up their stuff. One particular day, I needed a replacement motherboard on a register and had the parts laid on the belt next to me as I dusted things off and removed the case. An older couple who had been waiting in line sees me and decides that I am somehow about to open. The husband starts to shove my parts forward so he could begin stacking their stuff on the belt. Looking up, I kindly mentioned to the couple that, "I'm sorry, sir, this register isn't open," and gestured to all of the other pieces in front of me. His wife started to sigh.
"We can see that, but you'll be done soon, so we can wait."
All while the husband is still stacking product on the belt. "No, I'm sorry, ma'am. I am repairing the register. I don't work for the store. I'm just a repairman." She still wasn't convinced, but I could see the husband at least realized that I wasn't in the usual employee uniform. The wife eventually took the hint after I repeated myself and dusted my shirt off to point it out further.
"Well, if you can fix it, you can ring us up anyway. It's not like it's rocket science."
I'm trying to not get snarky with this couple, but I live for passive-aggressive softball. The thrill of pointing out someone's stupidity when they've given me an attitude is a glorious high. The husband, not wanting to lose his face, despite knowing that I was indeed a repairman and not a cashier, starts to get grumpy.
"Why can't this store open more than two registers?"
The wife started again.
"Just hurry up and ring up our things."
I sigh and think some people are visual learners. So I remove my parts from the belt and place them at my feet, not back into their case. This leaves a noticeable emptiness in the station as all that is left is dangling cables and the scanner. I proceed to grab the first item and try and scan it. And of course, no beeps sound and nothing happens. Now with my best customer service face. "I'm sorry, it doesn't look like the register is working." Not happy with my answer, they demanded I move them to another register. Sadly for them, I had two other tickets for that store and the adjacent register needed a hand scanner. I walked over to the register with the item I had used before and keyed in the store's training mode, which lets me scan things as a mock purchase. Looks like a real transaction. I proceeded to use the scanner, and a sad, dying beep comes from it. Nothing was ringing up with it. The husband, now getting more furious, demands I use the scale scanner and try again. Seeing the opportunity to hit this one out of the park, I change the quantity to 100 and scan the item, a can of veggies, and the price appears on the little flagpole. The husband starts yelling again, and the wife moans,
"None of the registers work!"
Showing mild concern, I say, "I'm sorry, it looks like you have to wait in line for another cashier." At this point, the cashiers around me had witnessed the show and were trying not to laugh as they rang everyone else up. The lines had started to back up a bit more, and a manager opened one more lane. Unfortunately for my couple here, they didn't get to it in time to be first. While they waited, I replaced the hand scanner and did a few test purchases which worked just fine. So now I go back to my motherboard replacement, which the couple can now see the lane from behind us and how my tool bag and all the parts were settled in. They didn't go to the manager, thankfully. Not that it would have done much as this store loved me. However, I could hear them complain to the cashier about the broken lanes, to which the cashier replied by singing my praises. I could see their faces turn red, and then they left. That job had so many moments like this where it baffled me how people couldn't put clues together to see pieces scattered about. The ATM side was just as bad, especially drive-through slash outdoor units. Can't count how many times I've been boxed in with angry customers waiting on me to move as I work. I could have huge dispenser units on the ground next to me, and they still wouldn't take the hint it was broken, eventually storming off and yelling at me. And shoutouts to our regenerals of the day, Laura, Randy, and Anne Swan. Become tomorrow's regenerals by leaving as many rees as you can in the comments below. And watch this video that just popped up next. You'll love it.